And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. And here's why: that the Father might be glorified in the Son. And that to me is the key of what I want my motivation in prayer to be. That the Father, through what the Son does in answer to my prayer, might glorify the Father, and that the Father might be able to glorify the Son. I go to my Father, whatsoever you ask in my name, there's a promise. I will do it. He doesn't say, I will mediate your prayer. He said, I will act upon your prayer. Why? That my Father may be glorified in my answer to your prayer. That's a great concept and requires a great deal of thought and absorption for our understanding. So here's what he's saying, according to Moffat: that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It is to this end that Jesus on his throne in glory will do all we ask in his name. Every answer to prayer he gives will have this as its object: that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's the object. When there is no prospect of this object being obtained, he will not answer. It follows that as a matter of course, that this must be with us as with Jesus, the essential element in our petitions. The glory of the Father must be the aim and the end of the very soul and life of our prayer. It was so with Jesus on earth. He said, I seek not mine own honor, I seek the honor of him that sent me. In such words, we have the keynote of his life. In the first words of the high priestly prayer, he gives utterance to it. Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. I have glorified thee on the earth, glorify me with thyself. The ground on which he asked to be taken up into glory, he had with the Father, is this twofold one. He has glorified God on earth, he will glorify him in heaven. What he asks is only to enable him to glorify the Father more. It is as we enter into sympathy with Jesus on this point and gratify him by making the Father's glory our chief object in prayer also, that our prayer cannot fail of an answer. Are not, in large measure, self-interest, self-will, the strongest motives urging us to pray? Or, if we cannot see that this is the case, have we not to acknowledge that the distinct conscious longing for the glory of the Father is not what animates our prayers? And yet, it must be so. A life to the glory of God is the condition of the prayers that Jesus can answer, that the Father may be glorified. It is Jesus who longs to glorify the Father in hearing our prayers, who will teach us to live and to pray to the glory of God. It is a duty for the glory of God to live and to pray so that our prayer can be answered. For the sake of God's glory, let us learn to pray well. No wonder there are so many unanswered prayers. Here we have the secret: God would not be glorified when that glory was not our object, that is his glory. He that would pray the prayer of faith will have to give himself to live literally, so that the Father in all things may be glorified in him. How shall we attain to it? Let us begin with confession. How little has the glory of God been our all-absorbing passion? How little our lives and our prayers have been full of it? How little have we lived in the likeness of his Son and in sympathy with him? I'll stop reading there. There's a lot to be absorbed. But the truth is that we know we glorify God when we pray as the Son instructed his disciples to pray. And in that prayer, he said, "Give us our daily bread." We know God wants to provide for our provisions. We already know that. So when we pray for God to do that, we are glorifying God in doing what he told us to do. When we pray that we might be delivered from our temptations, we're praying for what glorifies God because he told us he wants us to do that. And obeying him, praying as he has told us to pray, gives him glory, as all obedience gives him glory. And the Pharisees in this passage of John 14, we don't have time to read that. The Pharisees loved to pray to be seen of men, it tells us in that chapter. And they wanted to be acknowledged for the eloquence of their prayers, for the phraseology of their prayers, for the theology of their prayers. And I have to stop and think for a minute when I pray. Am I praying to be heard of men, or am I praying to be heard of God? It's the simplest prayer from the truest heart that is praying in the will of God for the glory of God that God hears and answers. He's not impressed with our great deep theology or our great eloquence of speech. Others in the room might be, but he is not. Simple utterances, stutterances maybe is a better word, because we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. We don't know what to pray for. Sometimes we just ask God to just pray for Jesus to pray for us to the Father, because we don't know what to pray for. So intense is our longing and our burden. You and I want our prayers to be answered, or we wouldn't be asking them. We are acknowledging our dependency when we pray. And we are coming to God who can do for us what only He can do and we cannot do. In these prayer meetings, and as we continue to pray today, I think it's essential that we understand how to get our prayers answered. Jesus said, "If you ask in my name, I will do it. I will answer the prayer. And when I do that, the Father will be glorified in me." If we want his glory, then let's pray for that which he can answer, and in answering the prayer, glorify the Father. Thanks for the time.